Gods and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
Well, hello, junior scholars. My name is Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the wisdom in the classics and inspire children with a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in Western literature, history, and scholarship. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in each and every episode. Last time on the Junior Classics, we read the story of Hop O' My Thumb and learned that bravery is not measured by one size. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. Our story this week is The Goose Girl. But before we get to the show,
Lost and Found Words!
Pay close attention to these words and their meaning, and listen carefully for them in the story. Try and spot them when they are spoken. Our first word is appertained. This means having to do with. The queen in the story packed up many silver and gold trinkets that had to do with, or appertained, to a royal dowry. What is a dowry? Well, that's our next word. A dowry is a gift that a bride and her parents give to a husband. Next, we have a maid-in-waiting. This is a queen or princess's household servant. Our next word is alighted. This means to get off or dismount from a form of transportation. In the story, the princess alighted from her horse. Next, we have a knacker. This is a person whose business is to buy worn-out animals. When the loyal horse Falada in the story is sentenced to be killed by the wicked maid, the town knacker is the man for the job. Next, we have plaiting. This is another word for braiding, as in braiding your hair. And our last word is menial. Menial means not requiring much skill. If you were to work at a menial job, that would mean that your job is routine or is boring work. I bet you think many of your household chores are menial work, boring and routine. But it has to be done. Now remember, if you send a video of you using a lost and found word in a sentence to the Junior Classics Facebook or Instagram page, I, Sir Bradley, give you my word that I will call out your name on a future episode and celebrate your achievement for all the world to hear. You can also send a video to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com. This week, I applaud Mia, Josephina, and Bella, three sisters who had a wonderful day hiking outdoors. They enjoyed sup at the lake, and Mia became quite vexed when her sisters left her behind on the trail. Great job, girls! If you want to be on the show, all you have to do is send a video of you using a lost and found word. Now, on to the show! Let us set up today's story. There is a queen who has a beautiful daughter princess. The time came for the princess to be married, so the queen sends the princess and the princess's maid-in-waiting on a journey to another kingdom, in which the princess's future husband lives. Before departing, the queen cuts her hand and lets three drops of blood fall into a handkerchief. She gives the handkerchief to her daughter and tells her it will provide special protection while traveling. Along the way, the princess stops to drink water from a stream and loses the handkerchief. The maid-in-waiting noticed that the handkerchief and the princess's special protection was lost, and her wicked idea is to force the princess to switch places with her. Under threat of being killed, the princess agrees to switch places and even gives the maid her royal clothes. Since this was all done in secret, not a single person would know who the real princess is when they entered the kingdom. However, one creature did witness the maid's wicked trick, the princess's royal horse, Falada, who can actually speak. When they reach the kingdom, the king thinks the maid is a princess, and the real princess is forced to watch over a flock of geese. Thus, she is called the Goose Girl. Will the real princess reclaim her noble identity? Will the wicked servant's evil deed be discovered and she brought to justice? What will happen to Falada the horse? We'll discover all this and more on today's Junior Classic.
The Goose Girl by Anonymous.
There was once upon a time an old queen whose husband had been dead for many years, and she had a beautiful daughter. When the princess grew up, she was betrothed to a prince who lived at a great distance. When the time came for her to be married, and she had to journey forth into the distant kingdom, the aged queen packed up for her many costly vessels of silver and gold, and trinkets also of gold and silver, and cups and jewels, in short, everything which appertained to a royal dowry, for she loved her child with all her heart. She likewise sent her maid-in-waiting, who was to ride with her and hand her over to the bridegroom, and each had a horse for the journey. But the horse of the king's daughter was called Falada and could speak. So when the hour of parting had come, the aged mother went into her bedroom, took a small knife and cut her finger with it until it bled. Then she held a white handkerchief to it, into which she let 3 drops of blood fall, gave it to her daughter, and said,
"Dear child, preserve this carefully. It will be of service to you on your way."
So they took a sorrowful leave of each other. The princess put the piece of cloth in her bosom, mounted her horse, and then went away to her bridegroom. After she had ridden for a while, she felt a burning thirst and said to her waiting maid,
"Dismount and take my cup, which you have brought for me, and get me some water from the stream, for I should like to drink."
"If you are thirsty, get off your horse yourself and lie down and drink out of the water. I don't choose to be your servant."
So in her great thirst, the princess alighted, bent down over the water in the stream and drank, and was not allowed to drink out of the golden cup. Then she said,
"Ah, heaven!"
And the 3 drops of blood answered,
"If your mother knew this, her heart would break."
But the king's daughter was humble, said nothing, and mounted her horse again. She rode some miles further, but the day was warm, the sun scorched her, and she was thirsty once more. And when they came to a stream of water, she again cried to her waiting maid,
"Dismount and give me some water in my golden cup."
For she had long ago forgotten the girl's ill words. But the waiting maid said still more haughtily,
"If you wish to drink, drink as you can. I don't choose to be your maid."
Then, in her great thirst, the king's daughter alighted, bent over the flowing stream, wept, and said,
"Ah, heaven!"
And the drops of blood again replied,
"If your mother knew this, her heart would break."
And as she was thus drinking and leaning right over the stream, the handkerchief with the 3 drops of blood fell out of her bosom and floated away with the water without her observing it, so great was her trouble. The waiting maid, however, had seen it, and she rejoiced to think that she now had power over the bride. For since the princess had lost the drops of blood, she had become weak and powerless. So now, when she waited to mount her horse again, the one that was called Falada, the waiting maid said,
"Falada is more suitable for me, and my nag will do for thee."
And the princess had to be content with that. Then the waiting maid, with many hard words, bade the princess exchange her royal apparel for her own shabby clothes. And at length she was compelled to swear by the clear sky above her that she would not say one word of this to anyone at the royal court. And if she had not taken this oath, she would have been killed on the spot. But Falada saw all this and observed it well. The waiting maid now mounted Falada, and the true bride the bad horse. And thus they traveled onward, until at length they entered the royal palace. There were great rejoicings over her arrival, and the prince sprang forward to meet her, lifted the waiting maid from her horse, and thought she was his consort. She was conducted upstairs, but the real princess was left standing below. Then the old king looked out of the window and saw her standing in the courtyard, and how dainty and delicate and beautiful she was, and instantly went to the royal apartment and asked the bride about the girl she had with her, who was standing down below in the courtyard, and who she was.
"I picked her up on my way for a companion. Give the girl something to work at, that she may not stand idle."
But the old king had no work for her, and knew of none. So he said, "I have a little boy who tends the geese. She may help him." The boy was called Conrad, and the true bride had to help him tend the geese. Soon afterward, the false bride said to the young king,
"Dearest husband, I beg you to do me a favor."
"I will do so most willingly."
"Then send for the knacker, and have the head of the horse on which I rode here cut off, for it vexed me on the way."
In reality, she was afraid that the horse might tell how she had behaved to the king's daughter. Then she succeeded in making the king promise that it should be done, and the faithful Falada was to die. This came to the ears of the real princess, and she secretly promised to pay the knacker a piece of gold if he would perform a small service for her. There was a great dark-looking gateway in the town, through which morning and evening she had to pass with the geese. Would he be so good as to nail up Falada's head on it, so that she might see him again more than once? The knacker's man promised to do that, and cut off the head, and nailed it fast beneath the dark gateway. Early in the morning, when she and Conrad drove out their flock beneath this gateway, she said in passing,
"Alas, Falada hanging there."
Then the head answered,
"Alas, young queen, how ill you fare. If this your tender mother knew, her heart would surely break in two."
Then they went still further out of the town and drove their geese into the country. And when they had come to the meadow, she sat down and unbound her hair, which was like pure gold. And Conrad saw it and delighted in its brightness, and wanted to pluck out a few hairs. Then she said,
"Blow, blow, thou gentle wind, I say, blow Conrad's little hat away, and make him chase it here and there until I have braided all my hair and bound it up again."
And there came such a violent wind that it blew Conrad's hat far away across country, and he was forced to run after it. When he came back, she had finished combing her hair and was putting it up again, and he could not get any of it. Then Conrad was angry and would not speak to her. And thus they watered the geese until evening and then went home. Next day, when they were driving the geese out through the dark gateway, the maiden said,
"Alas, Falada hanging there."
"Alas, young queen, how ill you fare. If this your tender mother knew, her heart would surely break in two."
And she sat down again in the field and began to comb out her hair. And Conrad ran and tried to clutch it. So she said in haste,
"Blow, blow, thou gentle wind, I say, blow Conrad's little hat away, and make him chase it here and there until I have braided all my hair and bound it up again."
Then the wind blew, and blew his little hat off his head and far away, and Conrad was forced to run after it. And when he came back, her hair had been put up a long time, and he could get none of it. And so they looked after their geese till evening came. But in the evening, after they got home, Conrad went to the old king and said,
"I won't tend the geese with that girl any longer."
"Why not?"
"Oh, because she vexes me the whole day long."
Then the aged king commanded him to relate what it was that she did to him.
"In the morning, when we pass beneath the dark gateway with the flock, there is a sorry horse's head on the wall, and she says to it,
Alas, Falada hanging there.
And the head replies,
Alas, young queen, how ill you fare. If this your tender mother knew, her heart would surely break in two.
And Conrad went on to relate what had happened on the goose pasture, and how when there he had to chase his hat. The aged king commanded him to drive his flock out again the next day, and as soon as morning came, he placed himself behind the dark gateway and heard how the maiden spoke to the head of Falada. And then he too went into the country and hid himself in the thicket in the meadow. There he soon saw with his own eyes the goose girl and the goose boy bringing their flock, and how after a while she sat down and unplaited her hair, which shone with radiance. And soon she said,
"Blow, blow, thou gentle wind, I say, blow Conrad's little hat away, and make him chase it here and there until I have braided all my hair and bound it up again."
Then came a blast of wind and carried off Conrad's hat, so that he had to run far away, while the maiden quietly went on combing and plaiting her hair, all of which the king observed. Then, quite unseen, he went away. And when the goose girl came home in the evening, he called her aside and asked why she did all these things.
"I may not tell you that, and I dare not lament my sorrows to any human being, for I have sworn not to do so by the heaven which is above me. If I had done that, I should have lost my life."
He urged her and left her no peace, but he could draw nothing from her. "If thou wilt not tell me anything, tell thy sorrows to the iron stove there." And he went away. Then she crept into the iron stove and began to weep and lament, and emptied her whole heart.
"Here I am deserted by the whole world, and yet I am a king's daughter, and a false waiting maid has by force brought me to such a pass that I have been compelled to put off my royal apparel. And she has taken my place with my bridegroom, and I have to perform menial service as a goose girl. If my mother did but know that, her heart would break."
The aged king, however, was standing outside by the pipe of the stove and was listening to what she said and heard it. Then he came back again and bade her come out of the stove. And royal garments were placed on her, and it was marvelous how beautiful she was. The aged king summoned his son and revealed to him that he had got the false bride, who was only a waiting maid, but that the true one was standing there as the sometimes goose girl. The young king rejoiced with all his heart when he saw her beauty and youth, and a great feast was made ready, to which all the people and all good friends were invited. At the head of the table sat the bridegroom, with the king's daughter at one side of him and the waiting maid on the other. But the waiting maid was blinded and did not recognize the princess in her dazzling array. When they had eaten and drunk and were merry, the aged king asked the waiting maid as a riddle, what a person deserved who had behaved in such a way to her master, and at the same time related the whole story, and asked what sentence such an one merited. Then the false bride said,
she deserves no better fate than to be stripped entirely naked and put in a barrel which is studded inside with pointed nails, and two white horses should be harnessed to it, which will drag her along through one street after another till she is dead.
To that, the aged king said,
it is you, and you have pronounced your own sentence, and thus shall it be done unto thee.
And when the sentence had been carried out, the young king married his true bride, and both of them reigned over their kingdom in peace and happiness.
The end.
Well, that's another junior classic in the books. I hope you like the story. There are a lot of good lessons in here, but let's focus on the two main characters, the princess and the maid in waiting. The maid was not a good and faithful servant. She was a wicked and deceitful servant. The moment she realized the princess, her master, was vulnerable because she lost the handkerchief, she took advantage of her and forced her to switch places with her. We don't know why the maid did this, but I imagine it was partially out of jealousy. Maybe the maid wanted to be a princess, or was jealous that the princess was to marry a kingly husband, and the maid wanted to marry the king instead. The maid continued to act wickedly when she requested that Falada, an innocent who witnessed the maid's wrongdoing, be put to death. The maid thought that she could hide the truth by killing the horse, but the truth always gets out eventually. We don't know a lot about the aged king, but with the little we do know, he seemed like a wise ruler. He realized that something was not right after speaking with Conrad, and was able to get the truth by suggesting that the princess tell her story to the Iron Stove. As for the princess, did you notice that even though she could have told the truth to the king and outed the wicked maid at that moment, she remembered that she took an oath not to tell anyone, and she took that oath seriously and remained silent. How hard would it be not to tell someone who could right a wrong done to them? Very hard. Yet the princess remained humble and virtuous. After the truth came out, the king asked the maid what she would do to someone who treated their master so wickedly. The harsh judgment that the maid pronounced revealed her evil heart. The king then brought justice to the situation, and the princess was restored to her rightful place. The lesson is this, junior scholars. Decisions have consequences. A consequence is the result or effect of an action or decision one makes. It can be good or bad. The maid decided to threaten to kill the princess unless she switched places with her, and then made her promise not to tell anyone. She then killed Falada and hoped the truth would be buried with him. But this was not the case. Which brings us to our second lesson. Be sure your sins will find you out. You may think you can outrun or hide from wrongdoing, but that is untrue. The truth will always come out, though it may take time. Even if you get away with something, you will carry the guilt and shame of that wrongdoing until you make it right. That's all for now, junior scholars. As always, I am Sir Bradley Hassey. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth. Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening to the Junior Classics.